Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. He said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
For more gross, stupid, and morally deficient funny stuff like you.
Hello and good evening and welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, live coming at you from Hagerstown, Maryland. This is your host, the Disrespected Trucker, Jeremy Johnson, and I am here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how are you doing this fine evening?
I tell you what, I think the bastards have almost killed me. You know, if you go back to like the 1980s, I have taken bank loans. The very first bank loan I ever took was for just a little over half of the amount that I paid for one tank of diesel fuel today. I'm not kidding. The crisis is real. Yeah, God help us all. And you know what? In honor of last week's episode, I'm going to, as the control board guy, I'm just going to slip this in there before I let you go with your monologue.
Parental guidance is suggested.
Oh, that's a good idea tonight. I'm going to skip around just a little bit. I just got something that come over my Twitter feed that I want to read, but I'm going to just wait for 1 second on that. First of all, I want to talk about this morning at the People's Convoy.
last night, Brian Brazzi said, you guys need to be down here 8:30, whatever time it was. We've got a very special announcement tomorrow. All right. I was called, said, make sure you're down here tomorrow. All right. That's the earliest I've gotten there so far since I've been here. I usually like to sleep until about 8:30 and then get down there around 9:30 or 10. I like to get up and do my thing in the morning and, you know, look at my news feeds and just get caught up on that before I start my day. Anyway, so we get down there, or I get down there this morning, and I'm talking to everybody and talking to numerous different convoys that have joined into the People's Convoy, the leaders of those convoys. Some really fine folks, by the way, and they're different freedom movement groups, and everybody down there, honestly, is really, really just nice people. And Mr. Brazzi got up on the stage, and he did his thing, and he announced that Ted Cruz was going to come and visit People's Convoy in person. And everybody was very excited about that, and they should be, because that's what we want. Is we need that diplomatic channel to do positive things. I know there's people down there that want to go rogue, and they just want to drive into D.C. and kick off whatever the hell they think they're going to kick off. Well, it's not going to work that way. As much as they maybe want to, and hell, there's most days that I want to, but I'm also a sensible person and realize you got to do things, you got to try to do them the right way, and those guys are. And they got a big-name politician down there in person to talk to the crowd. And that's exactly what he did. And he gave a phenomenal, roughly 7-minute speech. And it was great to see one of our United States politicians paying attention and taking action on it. Now, has anything gotten done over it? Well, not right now. But my favorite saying as of late is, this isn't McDonald's. It's not a McDonald's drive-thru. You're not going to get your cheeseburger in 2 minutes. So calm down. Things take time. This, from the very beginning, we knew this whole process was going to take time. And they're doing a phenomenal job down there. They're busy. They're constantly in meetings, and they got to go here, and they got to meet with that one, and they got to go with this one. It's like they're being torn in 50 million different directions. Meanwhile, they haven't worked for a month and a half or 2 months. However long it's been while they started planning. So Mr. Cruz announced that he's going to ride in the lead truck with Mike Landis. So Mike and Brian, and I can't remember who else was in there with them, all got in that truck, and they rode into D.C. And they detoured off of the convoy. They let the convoy continue around the Beltway, and they pulled right up to the Capitol. And what was funny is, as Mike was getting out, I don't know if it was Capitol Security or police or whatever it was, like they pull up and ask for, I don't know what they, I didn't hear it in the video. I just seen that they confronted Mike, and little did they know, right around the corner, Ted Cruz was standing right there. They're like, he's okay to be here. And they're like, oh, okay. It was kind of funny. I thought it was funny anyway. But they stood up on stage and had a press conference right there. And this is the second time now that they met with Senator Cruz. They met with Ron Johnson and Ted Cruz the other day. A group of them did. And now then they, after that, they went and met with Congress. And those people are completely out of touch with America. They didn't understand what the impacts of the People's Convoy has had on America. And like I was telling you earlier, Chris, the fact of the matter is when your own politicians don't know the millions and millions of people that have been standing on overpasses alongside the roads, joining in their states just to ride with the convoy, and you have no idea about that as a politician, tells me a couple things. Number one, either you need to be removed from office. Number two, you need to resign immediately, Or the easy way, if you want to be held accountable, number three, you demand why the mainstream media has not covered this from California all the way out to Hagerstown, Maryland. Now you have to understand something. I was talking to a guy outside the hotel today, and I was showing him some videos. He's like, "Man, that's a lot of people on that overpass." I said, "That's just one overpass." He goes, "Oh, how many overpasses were they on?" I said, "From when they started this, from California to Hagerstown, Maryland, and as they go into D.C., every single one, not one here and there. I'm literally telling you, it's every single overpass there's people on. The American people support this movement. And it's not just Republicans, it's Democrats, it's independents, it's libertarians, it's Americans. And that's what it's all about. We are Americans. We've let this media divide us so horribly that we have to either declare that we're Republican or Democrat. Whatever happened to just saying, you know what, I really don't give a shit about politics. I'm an American. I don't like what this side does or their policies, or I don't like what that side does, but people all think they're Republican or all think they're Democrat. But in actuality, we're American constitutionalists that really truly believe in what the Constitution states, the freedom of speech. And even when it sucks, when somebody's against you politically and they talk shit, but it's like, that's the next thing too. It's like, as much as I hate that, I do have the freedom to move on from that. And I also have the freedom to respond. Whether I do or not, it depends on my mood. I try not to, but sometimes I do. And then probably 4-year-olds, but 14-year-olds sit in mommy's basement. Or they could be 44-year-olds sitting in mommy's basement, as far as I know. I don't know. But that's the gist of what happened. And, I forgot his name. And I hate that when I do that, because I do that all the time. It starts with a J. He was a black gentleman wearing a black cowboy hat, was at the first meeting with the Senate and Congressman, and I met him personally. And Janiel, I think his name is. I apologize, but I met him. The guy is a happy-go-lucky, just a fantastic, fantastic person. And he walked onto a Delta Airlines flight with a sweatshirt that said, "Fuck Joe Biden." And they told him to take it off, which, in their defense, I guess it's their flight, and they can tell him that. But I guess he argued with them a little bit, and then he finally did take it off. And then he went to his seat, and as he sat there, they said, "You need to leave," because they questioned their policy. So they said, "If you don't leave, you will be placed on a no-fly list." So he got booted off a plane. I can guarantee you, I've watched a million people while Donald Trump was president that had stuff about Trump and said stuff about Trump and were never sent to leave or take it off. They were free to do as they pleased. There's a double standard in this country, and it's ridiculous. So that's my first little rant. And before I get too far on that, I wanted to read what comes through my Twitter feed, because this is going to get interesting. It's gotten interesting. I've seen flip-flopping in the White House already about it. So according to this post, excuse me, and now I'm going to read this, but I cannot verify any of this. I can let you know that I have heard this before, but I cannot, verify that this is true. I'll just read it. Russia has just publicly stated that they have irrefutable evidence that the U.S. funded biolabs in Ukraine were military installations that were operating under the guise of scientific research. They claim to have seized materials and demand that the U.S. government provides the world with answers. This comes the day after China publicly urged the U.S. to disclose the purpose for their 336 biolabs around the world, including the 26 labs in Ukraine. George Soros was in Ukraine days before China first discovered COVID. Fauci is MIA. The mainstream media can't even keep a conspiracy theory together for 6 hours. Things are getting spicy, folks. That's what I just read on Twitter. And I do know that Russia has made a statement accusing the U.S. of those labs and claimed to have used them as a strategic airstrike. And I've also seen the White House deny that, and which that's what liars do. It's like one guy put it, if I walked into a room right now and I said, who farted? And the first one that said, not me, is obviously the one that farted. So this is kind of what's going on here. I'll tell you right now, and you guys know, those of you that are my regular listeners, I don't trust our government, and I don't believe our government or our media one iota. I zero trust in them. I think they're all liars, every one of them. Yeah, even though I took a picture with one today, I stood right next to Ted Cruz and took a picture. And I hate to call him a liar on the radio when he's at least listening to us, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt right now. But a good majority of them are, they're not good people. And what they're doing to this country is not right. And they know it's not right. At least I listened to Cruz yesterday. I'll give him this. At least he had the balls enough to stand up and call those people idiots, call them cowards, and tell the American people, he knew he was being listened to, that these people are not doing right by the people. So I'm going to give Cruz credit for that. But that's what's going on there. We're going to have Tyler Lee. He's going to come on roughly 9 o'clock or so-ish. He is running for Congress in North Carolina, and I've met him. I met him personally too. And you want to talk about just a wonderful, great fellow, just a down-to-earth good dude. He's been hanging out personally with Brazzi and Landis and going with those guys in the meetings in the D.C., which is good for him and good for people that may want to vote for him, because he's getting experience before he even gets experience. I think it's a wonderful thing. So it's been a fantastic experience down here. It really truly has. The only thing that has really bothered me is the backdoor infighting amongst people that can't let shit go. I was told to get on a radio show the other night, on a different radio show. And I got on there, you know, it was four people I knew very, very, very well. And two of them were talking shit about, and they didn't know I was on and listening. They didn't know I was there listening. I disclosed that I had Tony on, who's listening to this broadcast right now. So he was sitting in the background, not saying a word. And he heard everything they were saying. They were bad-mouthing the shit out of me, accused me of hijacking this movement, accused me of being in it for financial gain, accused me of everything. And one of those guys was the reason, part of the reason, that I, you know, there was a lot of things that went down that I had to back out because of moral reasons and other reasons. But there's also other things that happened that I didn't, was kind of out of my control. But that doesn't matter. That does not matter. The point I'm trying to make, and I'll get back to that point here in a second, but the point I'm trying to make is these guys were talking, I mean, mad smack about me. And then the other guy who I trusted, he has a large Facebook group out on the West Coast, and when I heard he was talking shit about me, that one bothered me a little bit. But they finally let me on air, and they said, we got Jeremy Johnson on, and he's mic'd up. And he said, go ahead. And I said, you know, you guys want to talk shit about me, at least be kind enough and courtesy, have enough courtesy to let me be on the phone to defend myself. And I can tell each and every one of you that are listening to this what really went down. And as soon as I started talking, then their tune changed where, well, we know Johnson's got a good heart. And the one said, I'm not going to mention names because I'm not going to get into the fucking throwing shit like monkeys. But the one's like, well, yeah, you always did say that you never wanted your name attached to anything financial. You know, so they backpedaled on their story right away as soon as I got online. And my answer to all of it, after all of it, I told them, you know what, I forgive you, even though I have every reason not to because you guys are dickheads. And I stand by that statement. I still think you're dickheads, but I do forgive you. And I did tell them, you know what, come down to the People's Convoy. You need to experience this for yourself. You need to see what this all is all about. This is wonderful. It's fantastic. It's great brotherhood and sisterhood and camaraderie. It's beautiful. And then I told them, I said, furthermore, all the shit that went down you're talking about happened like a month and a half ago. Why in the fuck are you still talking about something that happened a month and a half ago? Why are you worried about that now? The People's Convoy is in Hagerstown, Maryland. They're having meetings with senators and congresspeople. And you petty motherfuckers are still talking about something that happened a month and a half ago? Like, grow up. I told them, I said, I looked at my clock. I said, you know what, guys? Where I'm at in Hagerstown, it's 9:03 p.m. Eastern time. 9:03 p.m. Eastern. You know what? At 9:02 p.m. Eastern, that's when I stopped giving a shit about anything that happened prior to 9:02. You know what I care about now? What's going to happen at 9:04 and 9:05? That's what my focus on. I could give two shits less of how you feel about me up from what happened then. None of you really know what happened. It grew so fast, so crazy, and it got out of control. And people tried to infiltrate it right away, and they did. But these people had the audacity to attack me without me being there to defend myself, which is why I'm not mentioning their names. Because I ain't going to stoop to your level, because you guys are pieces of shit. And then it turns out that there's two other people on the phone that are in our inner circle that were actually involved in some of the planning. And they got angry at me and started yelling at me over stuff that was out of my control. And they're still angry about, because this one didn't talk to me and this one didn't communicate with me. You guys, honestly, you got anger issues. You need to work on just letting shit go. But they don't. They got to keep it going. And they got to try to break it down and tear it down. This is a beautiful thing, what's going on down here. I just took a picture today with a kid that loves trucks and seen it on TV, and he wanted his dad to drive him up here and show him. And he got to meet Brian this morning, and he met the whole group of people that are individual leaders for their convoys that joined this convoy. And he got to take a picture with all of them, and then I ran into him again this afternoon. So I got to take a individual picture with him and sign his flag, and it's such an amazing experience. I had a mom handed me a card this morning. She said her daughter made this for you, and it said, "Thank you, truckers." I had to listen to a lady today. I shouldn't say I had to. I wanted to. I sat and talked with her as she bawled her eyes out, as she told me about her husband, who was COVID positive, just like her, but he wasn't in bad shape at the time. She was in worse shape, but they sent her home and kept him, admitted him, and they administered remdesivir, and he died of kidney failure, and she had his ashes in his urn on her center console as she talked to me and introduced me to her husband, and I sat and cried with her. I ain't gonna lie to you, it was a tough story to hear. Face to face with that woman and seeing her emotion and the pictures she showed me and the evidence she showed me. And I said, ma'am, I knew about this a year and a half ago about remdesivir. I said, they did a study in the Congo trying to treat the Ebola virus. and 35% of the people that were administered remdesivir died of exactly what your husband did. And a Zoom call that I've been on about a month and a half ago, included Dr. Robert Malone and numerous other world-renowned doctors that I was a privilege of being a part of. And one of those doctors in there even said these people, these 800,000 people died with COVID, They didn't die of COVID. They were murdered because they were mistreated. They didn't treat them the right way. And the correct treatment involves hydrochloroquine and ivermectin, which we've preached about on this show. And they're also both the cheapest drugs you can find to treat this. It's very inexpensive. And not to mention the government kickbacks to hospitals, to doctors, administrators, just to get a COVID-positive test, a COVID-positive hospitalization, a death. They were getting certain levels of kickbacks for everything, every one of them. This was massive fraud perpetuated literally on the world. And I'm tired of hearing those stories of people that have lost their loved ones. But that's what gets me to keep fighting. And I've really literally talked for 25 minutes. Apparently I had a lot to say tonight, Chris. Why don't you weigh in?
Well, you know, I was thinking I might bring up another story. The Portland chapter or bureau or whatever the hell they call themselves, the Portland area Antifa folks, famous for having violent confrontations in the streets of Portland. I guess they got in maybe just a little bit over their head. I think this was yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. May have been the day before. There's not a whole lot of details that have been released other than here's what I know. There was a confrontation between Portland Antifa and this particular group of Antifa. They are the same group that were involved in a violent armed confrontation last year where they were surrounding a guy's car and trying to beat his windows out they were armed with rifles and screaming at him to get out of the car. That same group was involved in a confrontation. And this particular confrontation was with the Gypsy Jokers Motorcycle Club, which I do believe is a 1% what they would call an outlaw biker club. And it didn't go well. It didn't go well at all. Shots were fired. And I know that altogether, I believe, 6 people were shot. 1 is dead, 5 injured. And during a press conference on the scene, one of the police public relations officers was attempting to give an update on a live news broadcast. And this seemingly crazy Antifa chick, with a face mask on, came running up and basically commandeered the whole interview process that was going on, jumped in front of the cameras, and just started describing how the Portland Police Department was working with a motorcycle gang and sent them to go kill Antifa. And she was hysterical and just yelling, you know, we're dying out here, they're killing us, the Portland police has sent them to kill us. And it was quite the extravaganza. I wish I had caught that one live, but you know, it's interesting. You know, it's interesting what happens when Antifa picks a fight with somebody that actually fights back. Like I said, don't have all the details yet, but seems like the tally marks are probably in favor of the bikers and not Antifa. What do you think of that, Jer?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Antifa because we've been dealing with that shit all week down here in Hagerstown. Apparently, they don't like freedom. They've infiltrated us from the very beginning. and they're more so thicker when the group gets toward D.C., but they have come down to the Speedway down here and tried to be intimidating, but they're not obviously not very smart either. They walk into an event where we have, you know, anywhere between, at the lowest, we probably have 1,000 people there, and at the highest, probably anywhere between 20 and 30,000. And they roll in there, and they think they're going to be intimidating to a group of truckers that they don't put up with shit from anybody. However, they're peaceful. What's best about this is that when they come in, they think they're going to be intimidating, and they're expecting – so they got some jackass over there claiming he's a reporter, and he's live – you know, live streaming it through Blog Talk or whatever, and oh yeah, look at this! That trucker is getting—he's getting rowdy. Or they try to encourage them to react with violence, and every single time, they all they do is grab them by the arm, turn them around, and escort them kindly right up to the entrance and say, "Get out of here! You're not welcome here," because we know what they're doing. We had a car pull in that was Antifa members. And they got on their megaphone and started screaming, everybody go home. The convoy is over. And he's like, I think Landis heard about that one and a bunch of other, Lee Schmidt and a bunch of other guys went up there. And I don't remember who said this. It was either Landis or Schmidt. I don't remember who said it, honestly. I thought it was Landis. It might not have. I don't remember. Anyway, that doesn't matter. But he walked up. He said, who the hell are you? And he wouldn't answer. And he says, you need to leave. He goes, well, you and what army is going to make me leave? And about that time, 30 more truckers come walking toward him. And they were, the lady that was driving the car started shaking like she was, you know, obviously scared, shitless, and she should have been in some sense. And the guy is like, okay, we're leaving, we're leaving. And they got in their car, and they were escorted out by a very large group of people. But nobody threw punches. Nobody hurt anybody. Nobody reacted violently. So, you know, these people, and I, by the way, when Mike or Brian was speaking the other night, me and a couple other guys stood by behind two people that were acting very suspicious. And by the way, you can tell these people, or tell who they are when they come in, because they're all wearing masks. And, it's like, Jesus, why don't you guys just wear a shirt that says Antifa on it? I mean, we're not stupid. We know who you folks are. And furthermore, you want to come down here and observe, that's cool. That's fine. It's freedom, baby. That's what it's called, freedom. But when you start going around doing your little reconnaissance, what you think you're doing reconnaissance to help your movement, and taking pictures of guys' personal license plate numbers and DOT to send back to your weak leaders that send you out to do their dirty work, and for what? Like, we're not doing anything illegal. You want to out people that are standing up for freedom, for your right to go down and join something like that, and that get the shit kicked out of you, number one. And number two, why? What's the whole point? You claim to be anti-fascist and against fascism, but you are doing the very thing that you say you're against. I don't get it. I've had death threats from them. They take my videos, they take my pictures, they take all my stuff, and they post it on their Antifa websites, and it's like, dude, for what? I'm not scared of you guys. You guys could intimidate all you want. And furthermore, okay, so you're going to get a big group of you together and kick the shit out of me? Okay. Or you're going to kill me? Okay. I'm not scared. You know, that's the difference of having God in your life and not having God in your life. You're not scared of people that are idiots like that. I'm not scared of them. Do I think they have the freedom to believe whatever they want? Absolutely they do. But you don't have the freedom to intimidate people. So, yeah, I mean, we talked about that too earlier, Chris. You were kind of surprised when you heard that we've been having issues with them down there.
You know what, when it comes to being surprised, not surprised that they would try to interfere with something of this nature. Surprised that they would be stupid enough to approach a group that large. with just a few of them. They're not really normally known for being that bold. They tend to pick on people that they're not as concerned about. You know, the video that was out there where they surrounded the car of an elderly lady and was screaming at her and banging on her windows. You know, that's their typical run. They were going to, I don't remember the name of the town in California that they were planning to go and do one of their riot, torch mob festivals. And two rival motorcycle clubs that actually absolutely hate each other, being the Hells Angels and the Mongols, they actually came together, put their differences aside, and said, okay, us two that normally hate each other, we're going to come together, and we're going to be in this town because we're going to keep you guys out. And Antifa in that one, they actually changed plans and said, you know what, we don't want to tangle with those guys. And obviously with what happened with the Gypsy Jokers up in Portland, I think they're finding out, at least that one, they found out what happens when you decide to tangle with people that'll actually stand up to you. Outlaw bikers, patriot groups, you know what, they're not elderly ladies that are going to cower in fear, So I'm still surprised, though, that they would come out to thousands of truckers. And I don't know what their thinking was there, but they did. You guys handled it very well. I'm glad I wasn't there. I have a particular hatred for Antifa. I had a run-in with some of them in California a few years ago. And unbeknownst to me, while I was talking to someone, one of them actually walked up and had some words and tried to intimidate one of my teenage daughters. My family intentionally did not tell me about that encounter until we were 2 hours away from where we had been, and then they filled me in because, well, I think they knew what I would have done if I was aware of that. My experience with Antifa is that they tend to pick on people that are, smaller, weaker than them somehow, whether it's old and frail or young, and, or from a distance when they've got the numbers and they're outnumbering people. So I am surprised to hear that they would come out to a group of people that don't like them that are still able-bodied and be outnumbered. But I guess their saving grace was that, they had a fast car or whatever and knew that they could outrun a Class 8 truck fairly easily. So,
yeah, they had a Prius. Surprise, surprise.
Well, it'll still outrun a Class 8 truck. So.
You know what, though? The best thing about Antifa being down there, which I'm glad that they do come down, we get to show them how you properly, peacefully protest without burning the shit down and beating people up and having a good time while you do it and being peaceful. So they're learning something. And maybe they'll take away from that and say, those truckers, the news said they were a bunch of evil, bigoted racists and extremists. We went down there and We pulled some of our shit. They didn't even beat us up. They're a bunch of weaklings or whatever they want to call it. No, they're too stupid to figure out that because we're down there fighting for freedom, whether you agree with us or disagree with us, that's the beautiful thing about freedom. I don't have to agree with you, and you don't have to agree with me. Just wish these trolls would stop, man. Good Lord. They literally have nothing better to do all day than to troll your accounts. Good God. It's like, oh, shut right. up.
You know, can I make a quick announcement?
Oh, boy. Are you coming out of the closet for something? Or?
Come on, Mel. I'm sorry, what's the right words? Oh, come on, man. We got a message over the Facebook page. Apparently, we're having some difficulties with our chat feature We've got one of our followers was trying to message into the chat feature and is getting a message saying that the feature is temporarily blocked. So I don't know what's going on, but if you are out there trying to put a message in our chat feature, which right now I'm showing absolutely no one is participating in, so I'm not sure what's going on for whatever reason. The website doesn't seem to be allowing messages in there, so if it says the feature is temporarily blocked, we are not shutting you out or anything like that. I just wanted to throw that out there.
It's because they say we're spreading medical misinformation and now we're deemed a domestic terrorist, when in fact we're calling out the lies that the establishment has been putting out for the last 2 years. And if we get this Emergency Orders Act lifted, the lawyers and the attorneys can start going after all these hospital systems for malpractice, and then shit rolls downhill, as you all know. And then guess what? Politicians are going to start to have to be held accountable. And it's not going to be a pretty sight. That's the only reason they're not lifting the Emergency Powers Act. There is no emergency, in case you haven't noticed. What's that?
It will open floodgates when they drop that order, and all of a sudden the courts are able to start hearing cases again.
Oh yeah, that's why they're not doing it. That's yeah, whatever. Sometimes you can lead a horse to water, but then you got to lead it back away from the water because he's too stupid to drink it when he's thirsty. Anyway, hey, if you guys are listening, we have a few minutes before Tyler Lee calls in. You can call the guest call-in line, and that's 516-387-1733. And when you get through to the switchboard, just press the number 1. That lets us know on the switchboard you have something to say to add to the conversation. And like usual, you don't have to agree with us, but if you're going to get on here and disagree, you will be respectful. Or our phone lines, we always have bad connections, so you probably get dropped. That number again is 516-387-1733. Just press the number 1. Oh, man, my lungs are out of air from just yapping for 40 freaking minutes. Why don't you, Chris, why don't you update the news break that you told me about right before we went on air?
Well, that'll be a good one to talk about. Maybe we can get some interaction from our callers on this one. They just sentenced Jussie Smollett today, or as Dave Chappelle likes to refer to him, Juicy Smollett, the French actor. And it looks like he's actually going to get some jail time out of it. He does have a felony conviction. Now, he's going to do 150 days? Yes, 150
yeah.
days. In the Cook County Jail, which I have to say that's not a pleasant place. He's not going to enjoy his time there. But 150 days at Cook County, a $25,000 fine, restitution in the amount of, I think it was $121,000 and some change. And that restitution is to the city of Chicago, I guess, for reimbursement of the resources they used to investigate the crime that he was alleging occurred that obviously did not occur. And 30 months of felony probation, which is a little bit more strict than like misdemeanor probation. So, you know, they're hitting his pocketbooks pretty hard. I know a lot of people would say, well, you know, he's a celebrity, you know, they probably imagine he's a multimillionaire, and I don't know the guy's financial status. I would imagine, you know, it's not like he's a Hollywood A-lister that's out there getting big roles in blockbuster movies. I would imagine those fines and restitution and everything, I imagine those are probably going to hit his pocketbook pretty hard. I doubt he'll actually do 150 days in Cook County. I would imagine if he goes there and gives good behavior, they'll probably give him 3-for-1 credit. He'll probably do, you know, about 50 days. He may even do less than that. But he will do some time in a pretty damn unpleasant place. And Yeah, and then he's got 2.5 years of the felony probation that's going to inconvenience him a bit. I know it created a huge controversy and a lot of division in the country and everything. Sentence is actually kind of appropriate. But I know you and I were talking about this earlier, and you were telling me that that you felt that it was a little bit light.
Well, he caused a lot of bullshit about that. I mean, he divided a nation over that, and it was MAGA wearing Trump supporters that beat me up and and it had nothing to do with anything except for him being a douche. You know, so whatever. I'm just tired of all the division between people that believe Trump is evil, even though I never voted for him either time. But they listen to that media like it's a gospel, and the frickin' media is just a bunch of they're big liars, man. But that's one thing I wanted to talk about before we got 13 minutes before he calls in, because this is going to be a 13-minute conversation, trust me. Last night, in the middle of the night, the House passed a $1.5 trillion budget with $14.5 billion going to Ukraine. And it was 2,741 pages long. And they were expected to learn that 2,741 pages in 11 hours. They introduced it, and 11 hours later, they voted on a 2,741-page bill. $1.5 trillion budget.
You want the breakdown on that?
Yes.
That works out to 249 pages per hour if they read the bill for 11 hours straight before voting on it. I'm betting none of them.
Let that sink in. By the way, all the Democrats voted yay. Of course they did. 39 Republicans also voted yay. So there's 39 people you need to vote out of office. Like I go back to the beginning of this show. When your Congress, when your politicians don't know what's going on in this country, pull shit like this, and they pass a bill like this, they need to be removed from office or resign. Knowing that none of them are going to resign, whoever voted for that, and I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, if you vote for something that is 2,741 pages, and this isn't the first time, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, but if you vote for something that's 2,741 pages and you voted for it in 11 hours in good conscience, you're a fucking crook, and you need to be removed from office. And I'm not sorry that I just said that, because you are exactly why our country is falling apart right before our eyes. There's no doubt in my mind that Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum are in the back pocket of a lot of our politicians, and not only here but across the world. And George Soros and Bill Gates aren't too far behind that guy. They're a bunch of evil, crooked bastards. That's what I can tell you. What's your thoughts? What's your takeaway from that, Chris? I mean, I'm upset about it, but we got to do something. We have to.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm sure we're only going to find out over the days and weeks and even potentially months to come what exactly is in that bill, because, you know, Congress is famous for passing a bill, and we'll call it, you know, whatever, the Ice Cream Act, where they're going to distribute free ice cream to 6-year-olds in schools, whatever.
Joe Biden's
right. And there'll be 5 pages of a 4,000-page bill that actually pertains to the Ice Cream for First Graders program. And then the rest of the bill, you go straight from ice cream to pork. And it's just a bunch of fluff. It's this, it's that. It's a bunch of new regulations on things that has absolutely nothing to do with the title of the bill. So I for one, can't wait to see what all is in that bill that they just passed that has absolutely nothing to do with the purpose it was supposedly passed for. I'm willing to accept that there was probably at least some communication between the staff of people who were writing the bill and at least some of the congressmen, congressfolks, so that even before the draft was complete, they at least had an idea what was being worked on, what was contained in it. But even still, you know, the final draft, until that final draft comes out, you don't really know everything that got snuck in there. Obviously, you need to be in the practice of proofreading before you vote on something when you're up there at Capitol Hill. And, 249 pages per hour for 11 hours. Obviously, one person's not going to do that. You know, even if they had 10 staffers going through and reviewing different segments of the bill and giving a synopsis, that's still too tall of an order for them to pull off. You know, you would have to have something like 100 staffers picking apart that bill, each of them reading a different, 270-page section and giving some sort of, briefing of what their section that they read covered. And I don't think 11 hours isn't enough time to do that. This is more of your pay-to-play politics, quid pro quo, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. There's deals being made. These bills get passed, and they don't talk about the parts of it that they don't want us to know about, and that's been going on for quite a while now. And I mean, that's pretty much where I'm at on this. And God only knows what we're going to find out. This bill actually has buried in it somewhere that's not even being talked about right now.
I am really, really tired of waking up every day and finding out our government is screwing us again. You know, before, they tried to cover it up and they tried to hide it. Now, it's just right out in the open. And what really irritates me about it is if you voted or if you stand on the left, you're cheering it on. And it happens on the right, too. When they're screwing you, oh, I voted for him. Yep, he's looking out for my best interest. They cheer it on. But I honestly don't remember the last time a politician has done anything good for the people. They've done what is good for their pocketbooks and for whoever's filling their back pockets or being the largest donor to their campaign. I don't know. I'm flustered by all of it. And a lot of people are way beyond flustered. There's people that are seriously, they're standing on the edge of just saying, fuck it, let's have a war. You know what I mean? Let's do what we got to do. And honestly, I don't blame them for feeling that way. And the fact that we're people are still trying to work the diplomatic channels. It's good, in my opinion, but other people, I've listened to them, I've talked to them, and they don't believe it. They think it's past that. And honestly, it probably is. I don't know that. I don't know that answer. But, these people, some of these people I've talked to on the ground, even here in Hagerstown, 99% of them are just really, they're just really good. They're patriotic Americans that just want to do what's right by the rest of the country. But there's always a small faction that think, I want to go in guns ablazing and we're going to do this. They obviously don't think it's not going to work like that. That's not how things work. So you have to ask them kindly. I don't go in there and it's like some of these go, we're going to go to D.C., we're going to do this, we're gonna, that's our capital. Yeah, well, that's what people from January 6th said, too, and look where that got them. You don't just walk into D.C. and do what you think you're going to do. That's not America anymore. That's the District of Columbia. They have a whole set of rules. There are different set of rules that you don't, you know, you have to abide by them a little bit. Yeah, it just, there's so much going on in the world, in the country. And by the way, I was talking about the trolls earlier. On my Twitter, they started trolling me now. And it's funny because I could tell, before I even read their comment, every one of them got a picture of the Ukrainian flag. You know, like suddenly there's some patriotic group of people that, I support Ukraine. But it's also, tell me you believe in the media without telling me you still believe in the media kind of thing. It's like, it's so irritating. Like, where's your American flag when there is no conflict? I never see it fly that. No, you call that racist. But as soon as you think you believe the media's agenda or narrative on something, you're quick to fly that country's flag. People are getting killed. I watched the video out of the Ukraine where they had 59 bodies laying there under plastic sheets or whatever, plastic bags. And the one corner of the one guy's blew up, and he literally reached out from underneath the bag and pulled the plastic over his head again as the camera was on him. I never knew dead people could do that, but apparently they can. That's how fake the shit is that you see on your news. By the way, that's on all your news. Everything you see on that, there's a twist to take. There's something. You have to be smart about what you're watching and what's real and what's not. Like, I literally see that on a news station. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, you guys are really truly doing that now? Like, I mean, I knew before that they were doing it, but, like, this guy didn't even know. One guy was laying there, pulled his plastic over his head so he could have a cigarette. You could see it in the background. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
And, yeah, I'm going to go ahead, Chris.
Are these the same dead people that are voting in Chicago elections, maybe?
I'm going to tell you something. The way this Biden administration has handled this country in a year, even the dead people that voted for him can't rest. Yeah, that's how bad this has gotten. I mean, your freaking gas is $4, $5, $6, $7 a gallon. Diesel, like you said at the start of the show, these guys are paying over $1,000 to fill up. I fill up, let me just think how many gallons I put in a week based off the route I do when I am running. I would say roughly 2.5 times. So it's going to cost me, holy shit, I don't even want to think about that.
About $2,500 roughly.
Yeah, it's gonna cost me at least $2,000, if not $2,500 a week now. When a year and a half ago, when Trump was still in, I was spending $700 a week to fill up, $700-$800. So triple my cost, at least triple, which means that I don't make no money. And when I don't make no money, the truck gets parked, and I'll file bankruptcy. And everyone that I owe money to, and you don't get it. Call your president and thank him, because I'm willing and able to work, and I would work unless, you know, if I didn't have a president that was a piece of shit. But that's what's going to come down to, guys. So, but it is, let's see, we got 1 minute late. Okay, I see Tyler's on here now. So are you going to take off, Chris, before I get to Tyler? Are you going to hang around for a bit, or?
Yeah, I'll hang around for just a little bit more before I check out early here. I'd like to hear a little bit of what Tyler's got to say.
Okay, cool. If you guys don't hear from Chris again toward the end of the show, he has some stuff he had to take care of. So, anyway, with that being said, I don't want to let Tyler's busy down at the People's Convoy here on site in Hagerstown, Maryland. I want to get him on right away, and we can have a conversation with Tyler. And Tyler, you are on the air. Thank you for joining the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. How are you doing tonight, my brother?
Hey, Jeremy, glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
Oh man, it's all my pleasure. I was telling the audience earlier that I met you down there, and I said you're a dude. You're just a down to earth down to earth dude. And is that your girlfriend or your wife that's with you?
Soon to be wife. We're getting married in June. She flew in for the weekend for a couple days and stayed in an Airbnb off site. But it was good for us to just be able to catch up and show her the convoy and get to experience the, what's going on around here.
Yeah, no, and I met her too, obviously, just for our audience. These two people, if you are in the North Carolina and you're running in District, is it 12, right?
Yes, sir, District 12. It's based out of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, so, yeah, if you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, I want you to go, before we get into in-depth in our conversation, look up Tyler Lee. Like I said, I met him personally, him and his fiance. Seriously, they're down-to-earth, fantastic individuals. And I was introduced to them. I was his a friend of his on Twitter, and but Taylor Barker introduced me personally, and that was nice of Taylor, which I appreciate. But let's get right into some. I want to ask you about one thing. I don't know if you've heard or not. I'm sure you have. But have you heard about that $1.5 trillion budget bill with $14.5 billion going to Ukraine that was passed in the middle of the night last night, was introduced 11 hours prior to them voting on it, and it was 2,741 pages long? Did you hear about that?
I did. I've heard all about it.
What's your thoughts on that, Tyler?
Well, for one, I hate when we get caught up in these endless wars because, it's sad to see what's going on overseas and innocent lives are being taken because of this, and it's not their fault. You know, it's these corrupt, these politicians that are making these decisions or lack of decisions. But, for me, we certainly should keep most of our money here within the borders. We should be taking care of our border first. Ensuring that the American people are safe and secure, before we start sending money overseas. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I happen to align with your opinion, and I'm sure there's other people that don't, which is fine. That's good. That's why we're here standing for freedom, correct? But so you've been involved. You've been hanging out with Brian and Mike, and you've gone to the Capitol, and you've had the meetings with Senator Ted Cruz this morning. He showed up on site. Tell our audience a little bit of your experience. Well, not a little bit. Tell us a lot about your experience talking with the senators and the congressmen and congresspeople that you talked to, not only today but 2 days ago, too. I'd like to hear it also.
Well, honestly, overall, I've been very disappointed, and I see why D.C. is so out of touch with the American citizens. So let's start with 2 days ago. You know, there were four total meetings, I believe. The truckers were in one meeting with Senator Cruz and Senator Johnson, and obviously they gained some traction from that. I was asked to attend a meeting with two congressmen who had reached out to us, and myself and a group went over to meet with them, and what stood out to me in that meeting was the two congressmen, they were Republicans, and they said, you know, we had no idea what is happening in this convoy because mainstream media is not covering this. And I was thinking in my head, like, okay, if you're relying on mainstream media for kind of the pulse of what's going on around the country, no wonder D.C. is so out of touch with what Americans are feeling and wanting. You guys should be over here in Hagerstown, Maryland, meeting with these people, be in the trenches and hear their concerns and see what's happening. And sadly enough, you know, as we've trekked across the country the past 2 weeks, I don't think there's been a single candidate or politician that has even stayed the night with these truckers. And you know, it seems like they just show up for a photo op, and it's a missed opportunity to me to them to understand what's really happening in America. And so I've just been blessed to, you know, I drove my Ford F-150 from Charlotte all the way to California to start the journey back. and I've learned so much from this community, not only from the truckers, from other Americans, of just, you know, what they're feeling, what they're going through. And as a political candidate, you know, that's how you get a pulse of what's really happening. And so that was disappointing, to say the least. Today was a wonderful day. It was a big win for us as the convoy. You know, for Senator Ted Cruz to reach out and change his schedule around and spend the time to drive all the way down to Hagerstown, Maryland, to speak to the crowd, shake some hands, and then jump into Mike Landis's truck, who's been leading the convoy the entire time, to get to experience that firsthand and talk to Mike and Brian as they're riding in this convoy, you know, that means a lot. Now, you know, politicians can say and say what we want to hear, and you know, we really want to hold them accountable and ensure that their actions line up to what they're saying. So we'll see what comes out of this. I believe Senator Cruz is a wonderful man. I'm not saying he's not. But we want to see some action. We want to see the House, you know, repeal the State of Emergency Act. You know, it's already been passed through the Senate, but we need the House to step up. And so I think it was a wonderful time. You know, Senator Cruz and the headquarters bus with organizers detoured away from the convoy and went straight to the Capitol, which was just a monumental moment to see Mike. Constitution Avenue, and pull up right there in front of the Capitol. Finally, mainstream media decided to make an appearance and actually give us some coverage. And from what I've heard, it seems to be fair. I haven't gone through it all yet to see. But, you know, Senator Cruz did draw some attention to this, and that's wonderful for the convoy. So these are wins. You know, it's a slow process, but these are wins. And because the American people are sharing content, that's how the word is getting out. You know, that is how this convoy has grown. It's because of a grassroots movement. It has nothing to do with the mainstream media.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's been through social media posts. I've watched it all over. I was saying earlier on the show, I was talking to a gentleman outside the hotel room, and he's seen my sticker on the back of my vehicle. It says People's Convoy. He goes, "Oh, are you here to support that?" And I said, "Well, I was one of the main organizers at one time." I said, "I had to back out for reasons that we don't need to talk about. It doesn't matter because it was long ago. But I'm here to support Brian and Mike and everybody down there because I truly believe in this movement. And I think they're doing a fantastic job." But that brings me to a question I wanted to discuss with you since – you know, I see Brian and Mike I usually see them every day. Yesterday I didn't see them. They were extremely busy yesterday, but I usually get a little bit of a chance to talk to them. I have zero concern over anything that they're doing right now. But there's videos going around accusing the convoy of stealing money or you know, not doing with the money what they're supposed to. And I'm going to tell you my personal opinions on that before I ask you what yours are, Tyler, but because I know you have firsthand, I mean, you're there, you see what's going on. I honestly 110% do not believe that there's any wrongdoing going on with the financing that is being donated to this convoy. And I'll tell you why. They have to set it up through accountants. You have to go through a set of checks and balances to get even access to the money. I did find that out. And number two, there's so many people that want to pull in there with their semi, say, "Well, here's my receipt for my fuel," and we nobody's ever seen it before, and they just want, you know, reimbursement for their $1,000 of fuel that they just put in, and then go get under another load and laugh at it. There has to be some kind of safety net put in place. And furthermore, people think that they're getting paid to protest. That's not how it works. I've spent $1,500 on my own dime, and I've had $400 donated to me through two friends, and then two random people gave me $150. And that's the most money I've ever taken for anything I've ever done, by the way. And so I personally am here on my own dime for the most part, and a little help from other people. And I'll be completely and totally honest with you about any money that I get and where it goes. My gas and my hotel, it's obvious. But, Tyler, in Europe, what do you think about those accusations, and how would you like to respond to that?
Well, I guess I'll say this. Mainstream media, the only time they did decide to cover this up until today was trying to take down the convoy. And we all know that they like to exaggerate or just make up stuff. And so I was told the story, and I will say, you know, for me, there's always a balancing act when you're in politics, right? Because I know, you know, as my platform grows, that the media and my opponents are going to look for anything they can to come after me with. And so if I had any sort of level of discomfort and thought that somebody was stealing money or was being immoral, I would have already booked it out of here, right? And so I have gotten to know these organizers, and I know where their hearts are at. And that story was definitely exaggerated. You know, I don't think it's my place to publicly share it if the other guys want to. But you know, what the mainstream media wrote about is not true, per se. It's exaggerated, and they tried to use it to bring down the convoy. The money is well secured. I can assure you of that. As a matter of fact, you know, before many of these organizers got involved, some of these nonprofits that stepped up to help, I called Brian the 1st of February and offered him some contacts and some resources to make sure that, you know, should we organize this thing, should he organize or should I get involved, like, we need to keep ourselves, you know, at a distance from the money. Because you've seen some of these movements in the past where suddenly the organizers end up with beach houses or nice cars, and you don't want to do that. It's immoral, it's fraud. And Brian and I certainly many, you know, a month, 6 weeks ago, whatever it was, wanted to ensure that this was secure. So, you know, Jeremy, I think you know these guys as well as I do. They're not guys that would take advantage like that, and they've been very clear up front that you know, the money would be handled responsibly, and it has. People's money is safe. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces here. When you're talking about thousands of people and tens of thousands of dollars in fuel and trying to reimburse and doing it the right way, you know, there has to be checks and balances, and people just have to be patient. I mean, we can't just hand out money left and right, like you said. Who's to say somebody doesn't pull in and hasn't been with the convoy but are looking for a free fill-up? So, you know, it's a very tough situation, but it's being handled appropriately.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you, Tyler. I honestly don't see any of that going on. I even had one lady comment, well, we're out sleeping in our trucks, they're living in these nice big rented buses and living high on the hog. I didn't even respond to her, but I just, I'm like, lady, you have no idea what those guys are going. I sat with Brian in that bus that one day, one of the first days I got here. I just observed that. He's not living high on the hog.
Yeah, I mean, to jump in on that, and I hate to give somebody attention for that kind of comment, you know, but maybe they just don't understand. There's no playbook for this. When you're organizing a grassroots movement and thousands of people show up, and you know, you guys are everyday truckers, right? You're not event organizers. You've probably never done anything like this. So it's something new to everybody. But these guys are not on these buses just partying and living it up, and like, I'm with them, and you know, their phones are ringing till 1 a.m. then they're up at 5 or 6 a.m. back on the phones until 1 a.m. Not only that, trying to organize and keep people motivated, you know, keep the volunteers going, make sure the bills are paid, being on the phone with these senators and congressmen and women. I mean, there are so many things happening that, you know, these guys are pulling their hair out and trying to keep it all together. And then to get on stage and, you know, have meetings in the drivers' meetings in the morning and night, like, these guys just aren't here on these buses just in the being treated as VIPs. Like, these buses have Wi-Fi, have tables and computers. They are in there working. And, you know, you can't do that out here in a tent when it's raining. And you know, you need the infrastructure to be able to – honestly, we don't have enough infrastructure and help. You know, we need more. So,
yeah.
I hate that people think that, but if they just came and talked to Brian or any of the organizers and actually asked, I'm sure they would have a better understanding. But I'm telling you, these guys are working around and they're getting 3-4 hours of sleep every night, if even that. I see the hard work they're putting in. This is not an easy event to coordinate.
Yeah, no, hey, I just brought on another guest with us. He's live on air, too, and I'm sure you know this cat. I'll just let him go ahead and say hi. Go ahead and say hi to Tyler.
And we're going to the phone lines looking for caller number 5 right here on the Jeremy Johnson Disrespected Trucker Station. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
What's going on, Taylor?
Bill?
Running, telling somewhere on the radio. Be quiet, okay? Hey, guys, how y'all doing tonight, man? First and foremost, I just want to say, man, what a honor to run across the country in such a convoy with awesome organizers and the American people coming out in droves, man, and just meeting new friends, meeting a young man, Tyler, running for Congress in North Carolina. When I met him, he was, you know, I just thought of him as, you know, he's a kid, and I got kids his age, and you get to talk to him, and you kind of feel stupid sometimes because he's so smart, you know, to having a conversation with this kid, man, and I hope he wins. Got to meet him. I got to meet Jeremy. I think it's the first time we've actually ever met in person, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the first time that you and I have ever met.
Yeah, and I mean, this thing just brought us all together and made us stronger. So this has been an awesome opportunity. I started out in California. I come out to Oklahoma, and I had to run off and deliver my load, and I came back with you guys in Ohio. And it's just been a great opportunity, man. We made history.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're still making it.
And I plan on being back up there hopefully tomorrow night. So I hope to be back up there tomorrow night.
You're going to be up here tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Right on. Just for you guys to know too, Tyler, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this broadcast, but we have like a, I don't know, like a 2-second delay. It kind of messes with you. Don't think that somebody's trying to interrupt you or vice versa.
That's okay.
We get it. So, but what did you think about it, Taylor? I mean, and you know, meeting Tyler and everybody down there is just cool. It's just a really great atmosphere, isn't it?
Well, you know, Jeremy, I've watched all you guys try this before, and you know, we just never had the public behind us, and somehow or another, the public just came out of nowhere and just in record numbers that I've never dreamed of seeing, you know. And now we have their support going forward as long as we don't screw that up, you know. And we could probably count on the public now to back us when it comes time for the next argument, you know, the next fight for freedom, you know. So anyway, it's just been a great opportunity to ride in the convoy. It's been a great opportunity to see all my friends, meet new people. But the main thing, though, Brian and Marcus and Mike, these guys have worked tirelessly hours, and it's just, I don't know how they do it, man. I don't know how they do it, but they did a great job, and the unit, and Jeff from the Unity Project, what an impressive individual. So, yeah, we've just had luck on our side, man, and it just and great organization. So I'm really tickled.
Yeah, and everybody that's working in the background, you don't hear those names. You don't see those names. You don't see them because they're not here for recognition. And the organization in the background, this takes mega people and a lot of coordination. And I agree with you, Taylor. I think they've done a fantastic job. There's people that are pissy. You know, I touched on it at the beginning of the show about, you know, people that are worried about what happened a month ago or a month and a half ago, and they're still pissed off about it. I said, listen, like right now it's 9:20 p.m. Eastern time. What happened at 9:19 p.m. and before that from here on out? Doesn't matter. We're here now. Now, either put your bullshit aside and join and just be supportive, or just shut up. Seriously.
I'm with you 100%. Hey, Jeremy, one other thing I'd like to mention, man, is like you sit on the back row, at our nightly stops, and people just walk up to your truck thanking you and handing you cards with $100 bills, $50, $20 bills, gift cards for $100. I mean, that was amazing to see people do that. And I was blessed, and I was able to give mine out to people who needed it more than me. I just felt like I had to do that. And it was a blessing to be able to do that, in this industry. And the American people just never cease to amaze me in this convoy. When we went into Amarillo, man, Tyler will tell you, grown men teared up when they seen all them people. Grown men teared up crying when they seen all them people on the overpass. It was nuts.
Fantastic.
It was crazy.
Man. It was fantastic. Hey,
but anyway, guys,
I
just wanted to show my support and call in, say what's up. Thank you very much, and I will see you tomorrow, maybe tomorrow night or Saturday, Jeremy. I'm going to try my best to get up there tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think I've got enough funds to get me through till probably Tuesday.
Okay, well, we might be able to help you with some of that.
Sweet. All right, brother. I will talk to you soon. I'm going to get
Mark,
to the next caller.
I'm just going to sit and listen.
See you, Taylor.
See you, buddy.
See you.
All right, that was Taylor Barker, and by the way, I just want to give Unplugged Radio a big shout out from the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. Without Unplugged Radio, we wouldn't have this platform to speak freely, uncensored. I'm keeping it tame with Tyler. Tyler's running for office, and I want him because I've met him, and I believe in him. I think he would make a damn good representative for the North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina area. So I want him just to be able to speak freely. But I know this next caller, you also know. I'm not going to put on any callers that I don't know, by the way, that we don't vet. This is Lee Schmidt. I know you've met him, Tyler. You don't mind if I throw him on to you?
Absolutely. I love Lee.
All right. One second.
Well, good evening. How are you guys doing tonight?
Spectacular.
Hey, Lee.
Brother, what's happening?
We just got done eating a little bit, sitting here reflecting everything, and I hate to add more weight to everybody's heavy hearts over everything we're doing already. I just did an hour interview with Canada, a gentleman out of Ontario.
Maverick News.
And after everything was all done, we talked about how things are going down here. He says to me, all right, I got to point something out. He says, Canada is not doing it anymore, but every country around the world is being squashed. He said, the only convoy that is still going right now is the United States convoy, the People's Convoy. He says, every country in the world is looking to you guys right now to hopefully get this done. Then he goes, how does that make you feel? So how does that make you feel? Knowing every country is sitting watching us because every other country has been shut down, we're still going.
Because we're the last free country that has a constitution that protects us from doing what we're doing. So we have to make damn sure that we're successful, so we can save this. And I never thought of that we're going to save the world, but holy shit.
It's like, how does that make you feel? Well, thanks for throwing that weight on our shoulders.
Right.
I told him they were trying our best. Our hearts are full with all the hope and support for everybody. And we're doing all we can do. But the only thing that protects us, I think, is because we are the only country left that has a Second Amendment right. And I said, I don't want to go that direction, but I think that is one reason, and the way our Constitution is written, that is protecting us over you guys and other countries.
What are your thoughts, Tyler?
I think, you know, we're on the right track here. We obviously haven't exhausted all options. I mean, next, what we need, you know, what we need your listeners to do is pick up the phone and start calling local and state representatives and their congressmen and women. You know, the Senate has passed this to, they have agreed to repeal the State of Emergencies Act, but now we need the House to take this on. And so call your local congressmen and women and start putting pressure on them and start putting pressure on your state reps. I mean, that we need to handle this peacefully and diplomatically. And,
yes.
You know, thankfully, we have midterms coming up, and I just shared that from the stage a few minutes ago. You know, my primary is May 17th, and different states have different dates, but show up to the midterms, the primaries this summer. Do your research on the candidates and look at their background, look at their family history, look at their business dealings. Just look at their life, because they can say one thing and do another. You're known by your fruits. So do some research, show up and vote. And then we need you in the general election in November. And that's how we're going to make changes, getting the right people in office, getting these corrupt career-long politicians out that only legislate based on what their donors and special interest groups and PAC money tell them to do. So that's how we're gonna change this country, is show up to vote and start putting the pressure on these people. Remind them that they work for us.
By all means.
Exactly.
Have them come to the convoy. Have them come down here. Anybody listening can tell a politician to come to Hagerstown. Any of us drivers will take any politician for a ride. I'm getting out of bounds. I will take any politician that shows up down here for a ride. Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, I don't care. Except Maxine
Waters. Not to mention, please. Let people know also, if you have a candidate that are running for office, kind of like Tyler is in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, tell them to call into the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I will give them a fair opportunity to get their message out, let their constituents know what they're running for or under, what their beliefs are. Let their constituents, I can't say that word tonight because I'm outside and it's cold. Constituents, let them know what your beliefs are. You know, let's educate the public. Let's get this country changed one person at a time. But we got to do it fairly. And we don't want to be this radio show, by the way. I don't want to be partisan. I really don't. But it's really hard not to be sometimes with the bullshit that they're doing in D.C. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're running under the Democratic, policies, you're going to have to really convince me why you think that's better than your opposition, whether it's Libertarian or Independent or Republican, because right now I'm not seeing it. And there's 39 Republicans that voted for a 2,741-page bill that wasn't read. In 11 hours, you voted on a $2,741, $1.5 trillion budget bill. You're not doing your job. You're raping American people.
How much?
$1.5 trillion with $14.5 billion of that going to Ukraine. And it was 2,741 pages long, and they introduced it 11 hours before they voted on it and passed it. And 39 Republicans voted on that.
See, wow. I don't understand that. I'm not sure where we got this from, but you know, we need sufficient enough time to look at these bills for one, but two, why can't they just be 50 pages long? You know, if we're going to negotiate on, if we're going to talk about infrastructure, let's lay out a plan for infrastructure and let's negotiate between the Democrats and Republicans on points in that bill, in that 50-page bill. Just solely on infrastructure. Don't try to sneak other things in and then say you have 12 hours to read 2,700 pages. It's just ridiculous. I mean, who would do that?
Yeah.
I don't know
why.
I don't understand it.
That doesn't make sense. That's not politics. You have to shove as much things as into a bill as you can to appease everybody to try to get them to vote.
That's why we need people that just care about the American people.
Yeah, Tyler, you're running for Congress. You get it. You understand that 2,741 pages, that $1.5 trillion, trillion with a T, budget bill, you know that, what do you think, 25% of that actually has to do with the budget and the rest of it's pork?
Yeah, I'm no telling, but we've got to move away from that stuff. I mean, we just can't keep doing that. And you know, those politicians never ask us, you know, if we wanted anything in that bill or not. So, again, it goes back to they're just putting stuff in that accommodates their special interests and lobbyists. You know, that's what's in those bills, not what we've asked for, because we wouldn't want this. We're spending more money than we make, and we have to get control of that. This Congress is doing a terrible job. That's why they have like a single-digit approval rating. And so it's time to get those people out. I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican. If they're not doing their job and if they're weak and they're not listening to the American people, they need to go. And I'm going to start listing names of my North Carolina incumbent congressmen and women if they don't get their act together and start listening to the People's Convoy. I'm going to start listing them on social media and putting the pressure on them.
And that would be a good thing. Hey, Lee Bean, are you still there, Lee?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Say, me and Tyler briefly touched on the accusation of wrongdoing with the finances involved in the People's Convoy. And we both agreed that we don't see any of that going on. What are your thoughts on those accusations?
As far as where the money's going and everything else, my response to people is, do you have a fuel bill? Is your fuel being paid? Are you out of fuel? Do you need fuel? Have you paid for fuel? Usually the response is, no, I'm good, I'm full. Do you need food? No, I'm good. Okay, what's the problem? Do you think that money is supposed to just be handed out to everybody that showed up? Everybody's just got their hand out and they're going to get $100 here or $100 there. The money that is in the kitty is paying for the fuels, it is paying for the security, it is paying for the grounds that we're sitting on, which is private property. The money is there to pay for us to be here. It is paying for our needs. It is just a bunch of BS underlying people that are trying to divide everybody. If you need something, find somebody here because we can get it to you.
That's the truth. There's trailer loads of donated goods down there that you've all seen that. And there's water, there's food, there's pet food. Everything that we need. Paper towels. I mean, whatever you need is basically down there. Has been donated. We're good to go. But they think because that food was donated that there hasn't been any monetary costs with food, because there has. And they think that all those people down there selling T-shirts, that's the People's Convoy just trying to make money so they fill their pockets. No. Those are vendors that ask to be there, that do, that they go around events like carnivals, basically. That's what they do for a living. That's their living. And like I was talking to the one vendor, she said, we donate 10% back to the People's Convoy to help them pay for their expenses. If people don't think there's expenses in this, they are sorely mistaken. I mean, they're bitching about not getting money. Well, if there ain't no expenses, why are you bitching about not getting any money? Because it didn't cost you anything, right? Because,
if you came here looking just to fill your tanks with fuel, then you came here for the wrong reason.
Exactly. The Brian and Mike and everybody in the background, Brian and Mike, I want to use them as an example, but I'm not trying to leave out anybody else. They've been without a paycheck for nearly 2 months. I've only been down here for a week and one day, and I'm, like, eating up my money. I texted your wife earlier. I said, I think I have enough money to stay till Monday or Tuesday. If I got enough to stay till Wednesday, I will. If I got enough to stay till Thursday, I will. But what do you need? I'm not working. I don't want to do that. But what I'm saying is, people don't get that. Like, we're doing this on our own dime. It's not. We're not coming down here to get paid. You know what
right.
I mean? So it just, you know, there has been a couple people. I had two people today that I don't even know who the hell they are. They donated 100. They asked me if I had a Venmo and a Cash App. I said, yes, I do. Because, like, listen, I'm getting down to my last dollars here, and I do want to stay. But I also have bills that I have to pay back at home. My credit card bills,
right.
I don't give a shit about. I'll pay them when I get back to work. But my vehicle payments, I have to pay that. Otherwise, I lose my vehicle. So
right.
I'm going to pay that. And my rent is paid up through the end of March. So I'm not worried about that either. And I don't owe child support anymore. So I'm good on that. But I do have to I have to have a place to stay. You know, so people don't get that, though. They see $1.6 million, and they think everybody's going around and they're having lavish parties and they're it's getting all crazy at a hotel. It's not like that. I'm not even going to tell you what
hotel
I'm going
to tell you. $1.5 million doesn't go long when you spend fuel to fuel the trucks one night, and it's a $52,000 fuel bill. How far do you think $1.5 million goes?
In Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah, so how long do you think it's going to last?
Right. There's a half a hundred. Two fill-ups is $100,000, a little over $100,000. Okay?
Right.
So do the math. That's, you know, and half of this is people that have come down there and with their own agenda, and they thought they're going to do whatever they want to do, and they're going to tell Brian and Mike how they're going to do it, and they're going to do this, they're going to do that, and then when they find out really quick that that's not how it's going to be, and they continue with their bullshit and they get kicked out, and then they blame it all on everybody else, but they don't have any accountability for their own actions. You know what I'm saying? I've seen some of those people. I'm not saying all of them.
Nobody
like that,
will look down on anybody. Nobody will look down on anybody for leaving early. We don't want anybody to lose their home, lose their business. It's not like you're here all of a sudden and now you got to stay and lose everything. Nobody wants you to do that.
No, and I actually made a video with Rat Rod, and I mistakenly said, you know, some of these people that have left are giving up on freedom. And it was too broad, and I apologize for that because I certainly am not talking about the people that literally had to leave because they have house payments, you know, bills like I have to leave. If I had to leave by Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm not giving up on freedom. It just means I'd go work for a week, get my bills paid, or 2 weeks or whatever I need to do, and I would be right back down here. I got to do what I got to do in a certain sense. So I wasn't talking about those people. But,
right.
You know, you guys have been there from the very beginning. You, Tyler. Tyler, what is your overall feeling about all of this? I mean, as a candidate for Congress, just tell the audience what your overall feeling about all of this is.
I'm just inspired by the amount of patriotism that we've seen. For those who don't know, when we started in California and made our way across the country, we've seen millions of Americans line up on overpasses, waving flags. There's been fire departments with their fire trucks and American flags hanging from the ladder. We've had people lined up down interstates and in parking lots, and they drive for hours. I spoke to a couple that drove 2 hours to see us. Not only that, but they waited nearly 6 hours for us to just drive under the overpass. So people are inspired. They're encouraged. And I'll tell you this story. There's been so many touching stories that have come out of this, and I cannot wait for the independent journalists who have been here to share those stories and create these documentaries. But a woman walked on to the bus the other day, and she said, "I lost my husband, I lost my brother-in-law, and I lost my aunt, all within a short period of time because they went to the hospital for COVID, but they were given remdesivir, and they were murdered in the hospital." And she said, "I've lost everything, and when my husband died, because of him dying, we lost our muffler business." So she had $150 left in her bank account, and she drove from Chicago, Illinois. She was from Chicago, Illinois, and she spent that last $150
from Ohio.
Yeah, so she spent her last $150 in her bank account to come to Hagerstown, Maryland. She said, "I wanted to take my life, but when I saw this convoy, it inspired me and encouraged me to carry on, and I just had to come be a part of it." And those are the stories that are coming out of this. Lives are literally being changed right now, and people are stepping up. They're being bold. They're being fearless. And it's because of the truckers. I mean, the truckers have stepped up, and they've said enough is enough. And thank God for the truckers in Canada who actually, you know, began this journey for all of us. And I know that, you know, I was told that it took them 9 months to plan their convoy. We're talking weeks that you guys pulled this off. I mean, this movement is real, and it's just so heartwarming to be here and just see and experience it. And if you're in the Hagerstown area or in the D.C. area, please come down here. It's a moment in history that we'll never forget.
Yeah, the public is welcome to come down there and join in, and because this is the people's convoy. And if you're hungry and you see people serving food, get a bite to eat with us and eat with us and grab a bottle of water and hang out and talk to people and, you know, share the camaraderie. That's what we're here for. It's the people's convoy. There's another caller on here that's a regular caller. His name is Brian. Tyler, I'm going to bring him on here because he is a regular caller, and I'd like to hear what his thoughts are, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
All right, Brian, I'm bringing you on right now with Tyler Leaf, running for Congress in the Charlotte, North Carolina, District 12. There we go. Yep, that's it. What's going on tonight, Brian?
Hey,
Brian.
I promise I'll try to play nice tonight. Ironically enough, I'm actually sitting down here in North Carolina myself, just outside of Raleigh. You're a little bit past this part of the conversation, to be honest with you, but I want to bring something back, and especially if we have a potential congressman sitting there. I keep hearing a lot of this notion about we need time to read the bills, we need time to read the bills, and that's all fine, and I don't disagree with that at all. But I think we're missing a really, really important question here. Who the hell gave them the right to pass the bill to start with? I mean, instead of asking, can we pass these bills, maybe we ought to, or should we be passing this, maybe we should step back a few steps and say, do we have the actual authority to do this? I mean, because I've read the Constitution a handful of times. I'm going to be honest, I've never read anywhere in there where it talks about the government has the right to build a road, to do these wonderful, awesome, amazing things, send billions of dollars over to Ukraine, send billions of dollars to this country, and I don't read it anywhere in there. And the way I understood it was, if it doesn't explicitly say something in the Constitution, then that means the government can't do it. So I understand I'm about 100 years too late to this argument entirely, but this is an insane notion to start with, that the government has a right, a responsibility, an obligation, or so on and so forth to do these things. 100 years ago, the American six-pack, you know, Joe Six-Pack looked at you like you're insane and out of your mind if you were to suggest the federal government do these things. So it seems to me when we're talking about this notion that we need time to read these bills, we're just slapping a Band-Aid on an enormous gaping wound. We need to go back to first principles and fix the problem, not the symptoms. And like I said, you've already moved past the point of conversation, and so I'm just talking to the wind more or less, but just a thought there.
Well, no, and I'll let Tyler respond to that as a congressman. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Brian, thanks for calling in. Actually, you're 100% spot on, and I agree with you. So I believe that the federal government needs to pull back, and, you know, we should focus on national security and just improving this country. And certainly there's so much wasteful spending. I'm a businessman, so I look at everything, you know, I need a return on investment. So if me as a congressman, if there are bills being passed, I want to see a return on investment, whether that's on infrastructure and we're able to provide jobs and essentially get that return on investment. But I don't want to see us infringe on people's freedoms like what this federal government is doing right now with this State of Emergency Act. I just want to ensure that you know, we are passing bills that people want. But I would much rather pull back on the federal government and leave it to the local and state level as the Constitution was intended. So you're spot on there, and you know, hopefully people read the Constitution and understand that, because the federal government is involved in everything now and just continue to regulate. And it's really, most of this stuff does go back to the states. So appreciate you calling in. You're 100% spot on there.
Do you have a
All right,
question
Brian,
for you?
Did you have
quick,
anything else?
Yeah, I got a quick question for you. I did get to see the convoy, what was that, Friday? We were heading the opposite direction, but you've mentioned that it might be possible to stop in and visit up there in Hagerstown. I might actually be in that area tomorrow or Saturday. Where exactly are you guys? Is that public information, or are we keeping that top secret? What's going on there?
No, we're at the Hagerstown Speedway.
It's hard to keep something this large a secret. Yeah, Hagerstown Speedway in Hagerstown,
yeah.
Maryland.
Yeah, and you can
roll
there anyway, with
parking
your
there, I assume.
Yeah, truck parking. It's 81 North, exit 6B, I think it is.
Yes.
Take that west to Hagerstown Speedway.
I'll have to keep that in mind.
Hey, it's worth it.
Yeah, I'll be here. So, yeah, and it'd be nice to meet you, Brian, because I've never met you. And you'll meet Tyler down there. You'll meet Lee Schmidt. You'll meet Trucker G and Brian and Mike and the whole crew. I mean, it's fantastic down there. It truly is.
Well, I would have loved to have flipped around and followed you guys right on into Hagerstown and been over there with you. But I'm in the same boat you are. I've got bills to pay, and I've got kids at the house that have this terrible habit. They like to eat every day. So it is what it is.
Listen,
yeah.
We get it. We get it, man. Don't you know when people say I want to be there and but I can't, we get it. You know, God was.
Hey, Brian,
we were lucky enough that. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Jeremy. But what I was going to say was, Brian, if you're in the Raleigh area, you know we want to put pressure on the local and state officials, so we could use you if you're in the Raleigh area to organize and start working on these state capitals. So keep that in mind.
I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong impression. I'm in the Raleigh area tonight. I don't live around here. I'm just passing through, you know, that whole truck driving thing. So I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong impression there.
Got it. Well, maybe
yeah,
another state capital then, but we could use you.
Yeah, that's what I've been telling people, too. Call your governors, call your senators, call your congresspeople. tell them to start supporting the American people by getting down there and talking to the American people at the People's Convoy. And if you cannot make it down to the People's Convoy in Hagerstown, Maryland, organize in your own states. Organize a group of people, and let me emphasize peacefully, go to your capital, circle your capital, park into designated areas, and go inside and request meetings with your congressmen and your senators. You have that right. It is your house, but it's their house too, and you have to respect that. But you can call them and set up meetings, and you can organize a peaceful protest up there and go and talk to your representatives. Was there another question you wanted to ask, Brian?
Nope. Going to just shut up and listen to the rest of the show.
All right. Sounds good, man. If you can make it down to the Hagerstown Speedway, please do. It'd be good to meet you. Thanks for calling in, my brother. All right, guys. Well,
thanks, Brian.
We got about 8 minutes left. What else did you want to add, Tyler? Because I want to get you some exposure, because I do believe you're a pretty decent dude. And, whatever you feel free to talk about, whatever you want to your constituents at this point.
Well, again, I just want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen tonight, but I just want to reiterate, you know, there's a movement happening across the country, and I want to see people step up to run for Congress and or run for their local school boards or run for mayor or, you know, run for office. We need people to leave the private sector who love their country and go do their civic duty and then return back. You know, that I do believe in term limits, to be determined on what that might be, whether it's 8, 10, 12 years for a congressman or woman. But I do believe in term limits. I want to see people leave the private sector, serve the country, turn things around, and then go back and go back into the private sector. So we need everyday citizens to step up. You know, our founding fathers did not, our country was not founded on career politicians, wasn't built for that. So we need to take this country back, and we are, and we need to get these corrupt career-long politicians out of office that just don't represent us. And again, I would say, if there's any candidates or politicians out there listening, you ought to be down here at Hagerstown to get a feel for what's really happening in America. You cannot legislate from your ivory tower in D.C., watching the mainstream media and expecting to understand what real Americans are going through on an everyday basis. So just listening to the truckers down here, I had no clue about anything about the trucker industry 2 weeks ago. And now I have a better understanding of what they go through, how their businesses are being crippled because of just unnecessary overregulation. And I want to give them a voice in Congress, and I just don't say that just because they're listening or I'm on a show. You know, I've told the police that when the left was trying to defund them. You know, I support the police. I want healthcare workers to keep their jobs. I want military service men and women to stay in the military, even though they've made a personal choice to deny a vaccine. They deserve to stay in the military. You know, every sector seems to be under fire right now since I launched my campaign, and there's a lot of work ahead, but you know, the way we take back our country is for all of you to rise up and get behind me and get behind many other good people that are willing to take the bullets for you. So I just want to say thank you. You can learn more about me at votetylerlee.com. Reach out to me. I'm doing my best to catch up on my messages, but man, it's been overwhelming the last 2 weeks just with everything that's been going on. So many have reached out, and I promise I'm trying to get to them because I just appreciate people taking their time out of the day to connect with me. But just be patient. I'm trying to catch up on emails and messages. So, but thank you for the platform tonight.
One more thing before you go, Tyler. What social media can they follow you on?
So we'll start with Facebook, which I wish all of us would go off Facebook because they like to censor us. But Facebook, it's Tyler Lee for Congress. Instagram is at I am Tyler Lee. Twitter and Getter are at Vote Tyler Lee. And then again, my website is votetylerlee.com. Any support you can offer, we appreciate it. We're like a church. We operate on volunteers and donations. So, you know, there's a contribute button on the website there. I hate asking for money, but we can't make it to Congress without a grassroots effort, without people like yourself. So whatever you can contribute would be helpful. We'd appreciate it. But yeah, I'm not accepting PAC money or big donors. I don't want to be bought and paid for. You, the American people, are who I'm there to represent and work for, and I promise it's going to stay that way. That's the whole reason I left my private life behind, because we lacked representation, and we need voices in Congress now. And for those that refuse to work with me in D.C. or just continue to be weak and don't represent your voice, I intend to expose every one of them. Like I said, I'm about ready to start posting some congressmen and women on my social media and their phone numbers so the people can start giving them a call and putting pressure on, because we need the House to repeal this State of Emergency Act. We need our freedoms back. That's what we're demanding.
Right. No, I appreciate you coming on, Tyler, and taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you guys are extremely busy down there. I've witnessed it with my own two eyes. And like I said to the audience, I've met Tyler face-to-face. Him and his fiance are seriously, they're the most down-to-earth, kind people you will ever meet. And I will strongly publicly support Tyler Lee for Congress in District 12A in North Carolina. So, Tyler, I'll let you get back to what you need to do, and thank you so much for joining the show tonight. Okay, brother?
Thank you, guys. God bless you all, and God bless America.
God bless you too, brother. All right, man. That was Tyler Lee. Again, at Tyler at Vote Tyler Lee on his Twitter and Getter, if you want to follow him there. VoteTylerLee.com is where you can find him also. And I'm going to tell you something. Lee, you're still on here. I've got you mic'd up. You guys can attest to who this guy is, correct?
Yeah, he's pretty good. If I was North Carolina, I would vote for him.
He seems very true.
So we just got to get more people like him in office.
Exactly. I mean, when I first met him, handshake, looks you right in the eyes. I don't feel like he's being shifty about anything when I talk to the guy. You know, when you can tell when you meet a normal politician or a politician that's been in office for a while, they got that shiftiness about them, like that nervousness. Him, he was cool,
yeah,
calm, and collected, man, the whole time I was by him. And I'm like, dude, that's impressive. So, no.
Yeah, I was impressed with him. He's very knowledgeable for a young man like he is.
Yeah, exactly. I think if he's for term limits, he's one guy I'd be like, I don't know if we want term limits with him, but we do need term limits. But that's how
right.
we get new blood
right.
in, and not these old codgers that have been there for 40, 50, 60, 50 years, like Grassley, what he's been in there for 50-some years. Yeah, and Biden, he shouldn't. Jesus, yeah, let's not get into that again. I'll have a freaking stroke. But, well, Lee, I appreciate you joining. Do you want anything, or do you have anything else you want to add?
Nope, just if you're in Maryland, Hagerstown area, stop in, say hi. Other than that, call your Congress and Senate.
There we go.
Call
Lee,
every day.
I'll talk to you tomorrow. Yep,
all right,
absolutely.
Have a good night.
Yep, catch you later, Lee.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Lee Schmidt. He's been with the convoy this whole time also, just so you guys know, along with Tyler. And I have not been with them the whole time. I caught with them just east of Dayton, Ohio. So I was able to join them on the actual convoy for one day. And then I stayed overnight, and it took me hell to get from the back of the convoy to the front of the convoy when I did join them. And I'm like, I ain't doing that a second day in a row. So I got up early the second day, and I went out ahead of them so I could get down to Hagerstown before they arrived, because I seen how big it was, and I seen how long it took them to park, and I was like, nah, I ain't doing that. So I got down here, and I got all set up, and I'm telling you guys, you don't know what you're talking about if you're putting this movement down, or you're criticizing it, or if you're believing that bullshit that's coming out of people that are accusing people of doing wrong. You need to remember there is two sides to every story. And when one's making accusations, they're not telling you about anything that they did or said or were shady about. They're just making accusations and then expecting you to believe them. And I've been involved with a lot of that this last week, and somebody brought up the point, and I appreciate them telling me this, but they said, Jeremy, you're better than that. You don't get involved with the mudslinging. And they were right. I immediately erased the video I made. I acted on emotions, and I apologize for that. But I'm a human being, and I'm allowed to make mistakes. But even though I'm allowed to make mistakes, doesn't mean that I should not have to apologize for getting involved in that. So I truly do apologize for getting involved in the mudslinging. I don't want to do that. I and that person is right. I am better than that. So we'll leave it at that. And I'll leave you guys with this. Please call your congresspeople, your state reps, Senate, Congress, all of that. Tell them to get down and talk to the People's Convoy. We're a little over an hour away from D.C. They can get down here. We can make arrangements. If it's your congressman and they're calling you directly, get a hold of somebody. Let them know they want to make arrangements to meet somewhere. They don't, you know, it's better if they come down here. It looks better for them, and it's better for everybody. But it's not completely necessary. We just want to start meeting with representatives, and we need to talk about this Emergency Powers Act and the effect that it's having on this country, specifically at our northern border with mandates where people can't see their families across the border. And there's a lot of other issues, but let's start. Let's start with the Emergency Powers Act. That's very important, and it needs to be talked about. And that's it. Call your governors and organize in your states. If you're not able to make it here, organize in your state. You've got the tools to do it. All you got to do is start networking. And if you need help with that, get a hold of us. Call next Thursday. No, I don't want you to call next Thursday night, because that's a week away. That's too late. I want you to do it now. I don't know how the hell to have you get a hold of me. Anyway, figure out a good person that could lead you and organize, talk to your representatives, go to your state capitals, tell them to get down here and talk to the People's Convoy. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get back at it. I'll be down there tomorrow. I'll be down there Saturday, Sunday, Monday probably, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. Depending on my finances, it all depends. I hate taking money from people, but I want to stay too. But I got bills I got to pay too. So we'll do what we can do. And Brian and Mike, by the way, have my full support. And I think everybody's doing a fantastic job. And a special shout-out to Tyler Lee tonight for coming on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show and sharing his thoughts and opinions, and we truly, truly hope that he does well in his District 12 in North Carolina. Tyler, thank you so much for joining tonight, and Brian, the callers, and everybody that listened, we appreciate you very much. That's what makes us successful, because of you, and that's a fact. So if you can, share this show out wherever you can. Share the link out. That makes us grow. We can get bigger people on here. not that Tyler's not a big person, but what I'm talking about, like, we can get more people on here, you know what I'm saying, because they heard about us. And again, I'm not trying to put down Tyler, because I think, seriously, Tyler is a great dude, great, fantastic dude. So the more we get, the more popular we get, the better off our show becomes, as far as listener-wise, and hopefully we can make this a little bit bigger of a platform. So anyway, you guys all have a great night. Thank you for listening to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, and I appreciate you, Chris, my co-host, as always, brings a different perspective to the conversation, and that's always a good thing. You guys all have a great night, and God bless.